Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Tonight, we mean business.
Okay.
Yep, the party has started. It's St. Patrick's weekend. Whether that's official or unofficial, I was around town today. And, well, put it this way, if you don't enjoy a drink before five in the evening, I'm surprised the pubs have any drink left because the Scottish are here. Yep, and the Americans are here as well. How can you spot the difference? Well, the Americans are stone cold sober and the Scottish, by the looks of it this afternoon, are not. I was in a hotel earlier on with a couple of friends and there was a Scottish pipe band just after checking in. And as soon as they'd left their instruments up to the rooms, can you imagine what that landing is going to sound like tonight? It was back down to the bar. And I came back actually about 3 hours later and they'd practically drunk the bar dry and they were moving into town at that stage. So I don't know whether they're here for St. Patrick's Day parade. Maybe they're in it. Or maybe it's for the rugby on Saturday. Anyway, and I was in the back of a taxi this afternoon. I was chatting to the taxi driver. Brian is his name. And he wouldn't come on tonight because he says too many people know him. And the topic he wanted to talk about might turn people off. And he was telling me, I was saying to him that obviously this must be one of the busiest weekends of the year for him when St. Patrick's Day falls on a bank holiday. And he said to me that he was up at 3:30 this morning collecting Americans from Dublin Airport and dropping them to their hotels and he was going to work until 1 or 2 tomorrow morning, but he was taking St. Patrick's weekend off. He said this is the first St. Patrick's Day that he hasn't worked since he became a taxi driver. And I said, why? Like, it's a windfall. I mean, it's cash all the way and it must be one of the busiest weekends for you when you consider that the party's on. It's going to continue till Monday night into Tuesday. I mean, for any taxi driver in any of the main towns and cities around Ireland, this is a big, big weekend. I said, you must be going to clean up if you come out. He says, the only thing I cleaned up last year, he said, was the back seat of my taxi. And I did it 3 times on St. Patrick's night. I had to leave the car in to be valeted the following day. And I ended up losing a whole week's wages because I couldn't get rid of the smell. He said, 3 people from early St. Patrick's Day until the following morning, 3 people vomited all over the back seat of his car. His car was destroyed. It wasn't so much the seats, they were kind of that sort of posh plastic, but he just said the upholstery and that on the floor and on the ceiling was destroyed and had to be replaced and it cost him a small fortune and the insurance company wouldn't pay up. So he said, no, he's going to watch the rugby at home this weekend. He's going to go to his local on St. Patrick's Day. He might even bring his grandkids in to see the parade, but he's not working. Sad, really, but that's the way it seems to have become. And that's one of the topics we're going to talk about, actually, this evening. We're going to talk about Lily Allen a little later. I'll tell you why. She has stated publicly in a popular BBC broadcast that having children totally ruined her music career. OK, and I'll come back to that in a minute. I'm just curious to know if you have children. Looking back on the career maybe you had before you had the children and that maybe you gave up or maybe you took time off or maybe you went back and your career just wasn't the same again. Do you think your kids ruined your career? We'll come back to it in a little while. Today appears to be the start of the St. Patrick's Day Festival weekend. There's no doubt about it. If you're around town in Dublin, if you're around Cork, if you're around Galway, it's all happening. Our national feast day on Sunday, it's a bank holiday Monday, it's a drink fest. And judging by the scenes in Dublin today, the party is well underway. Now, the city is full of Scottish fans ahead of Saturday's Six Nations game at the Aviva. I don't know what the sense of hosting an international rugby game when the city's chock-a-block with tourists from all over the world on the busiest weekend of the year is, but anyway, there's obviously some method in the madness. And then there's the old chestnut that rears its head at this time of the year, alcohol. And the ability of Irish people all over the world to basically drink the planet dry. So tonight we're asking, are you embarrassed that our national feast day is just an excuse to get drunk? OK, now what I did today, I Googled, is St. Patrick's Day just an excuse to get drunk? And the results that came up were embarrassing, to say the least. Most of them were from American websites, newspapers, podcasts, blogs, you name it. For example, the New York Post, in a post they put up actually a couple of years ago, they talk about St. Patrick's Day in America. They say it's a holiday. I'm reading from the New York Post now from a few years back. It's a holiday that has long worn out its welcome here in New York. It's basically an excuse to drink all day with vague notions of paying homage to Irish culture. That culture, in the eyes of many, apparently involves gratuitous pints of Guinness, endless shots of Jameson, and drinking so much that vomiting along the Manhattan parade route before noon is a known hazard. In short, St. Patrick's Day is the broiest of celebrations, the Boston of holidays. I'm not sure what that means, but I would imagine the folks of Boston don't agree with it. And then they go on to talk about, in honour of the legends, people who want to be Irish, which according to how they act means people who want to be considered heavy drinkers, dress up in green and take shots of Irish car bombs. That's the name of the drink, easily the most offensive name for a bevy, this side of the, wait till you hear this, Malaysian missing plane mojito. So they're all very popular St. Patrick's Day drinks in New York. And then you've got the, no, there's a couple of racist drinks in there as well, so we won't go there. Anyway, what are your views on St. Patrick's Day and the drinking culture? Does it affect you? Do you go anywhere in St. Patrick's Day? Do you visit a couple of friends' houses, perhaps? There's plenty to do this year. And if you think it's going to be easy to get into a pub, it won't be. We'll be asking you over the next hour or so, are you embarrassed that the feast day is just an excuse to get drunk? Okay. The busiest weekend of the year in the country's A&Es this weekend. The staff already know, even before the party gets started. What does that say about Irish people? I'd like to hear your views. Do we make a show of ourselves all over the world by the way we drink on our national feast day? And why do we do it? Let us know what you think. 087-188-0008 for your voice notes and for your WhatsApp messages. And if you want to give us a phone, Bell, it's 0818-942-105, OK? 0818-942-105. Hi, Marie.
Hi, yeah, I've just been listening to you. Yeah, I think it's pretty disgraceful, the carry-on of... the people on St. Patrick's Day in our country, and it is everywhere around the world. When they're showing the parades and the carry-on, it's shown to them. I think it's just an excuse for people to go out and get drunk, and the same people, if it wasn't Paddy's Day, they'd be getting drunk in their local, but they all seem to move on right into the centre of the city. And it's not very nice, and I certainly wouldn't go near Dublin City on the whole weekend of St. Patrick's Day. It's not nice. It's, you know, it is a holy day, and if you ask any of these people about St. Patrick, I'd say they could give you one line about him. They don't even know. And I do. I'm not a drinker as such. I don't drink, but I don't mind people drinking. But that taxi man that people are getting sick in his car and all that, that's just absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, it's vile.
You know, so I do agree that it's just an excuse to drink. And it's like they have a license to do it, you know, for those particular maybe 3 or 4 days. So, yeah, I just think it's disgusting. And it's not really in homage of St. Patrick.
And why don't the Gardaí crack down more on it? Why don't they insist that the pubs don't open till 6 or 7 in the evening, and that they close at 11 or 12 at night? They have the ability to enforce that.
I suppose, really, yeah. But I suppose if they did that, what would you think the pub owners? There would be absolutely, because they don't care if people are getting sick or whatever. But that's probably the most profitable time of the year.
Yeah.
So if the guards did that, you would see the Vintage License Association coming up and fighting against it. So I think that's the reason, you know. But no amount of guards can quell the amount of people that go into the city centre on St. Patrick's Day, the night time, you know. It's just and that's why they do it, you know. It is disgusting, and... it is known all around the world, You know, like, if you tell somebody you're from Ireland, the first thing they think about is you're a drinker.
Yeah.
You know, have you ever been away and people, oh, yeah, you know, they love to drink over there. It's so well known.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not showing the good side of Ireland. And most of the people doing this, as I said before, they don't even know anything about St. Patrick. And he is our national saint. And I think it's very, very poor. But the same people that are doing it, it's not that they come out once a year to behave like that. They'll do it, but they'll do it more.
Oh, they're seasoned drinkers. They're seasoned.
They're
in training. It's like Cheltenham. They're like the horses. They're in training for months for this weekend, you know. I was in the city centre for the last couple of days, and just walking around because, you know, I suppose I'm not quite used to the late evening radio. So you've got a big sort of chunk of the day where you're free, and so I was just wandering around in and out of bookshops and that, and one thing I noticed is that, like, it's almost like as if St. Patrick's Day has started, even though it's not until Sunday.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
yeah, and
that's right.
The pubs
yeah.
are full at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, I noticed that in Cheltenham today. Actually, when they were talking about a race, they said on St. Patrick's Day Thursday, you know, so that was today. So they're classifying it as almost a week.
Yeah.
You know, instead of just saying, you know, on the actual day, they said today after the race, he won and delighted, you know, Patrick's Day Thursday. And I said, that's the first I've ever heard of that. But that's the way it's going, you know. And I do feel sorry. And if I had a taxi, I certainly would do what that taxi man do, because no amount of, like, as you heard him saying, he'd no work for the next week because his car had to be cleaned.
Oh, he said
he
said to me, I hope there's nobody having a Chinese takeaway or their late dinner now. He said to me, he said he couldn't figure out if he was imagining it or whether it was real, but he said every time he got into his taxi for weeks afterwards, all he could smell was the vomit.
Oh, God.
And that's not acceptable.
Oh, no, that's just bad.
Yeah.
They're just scumbags. I'm sorry, but they really are. It's, you know, people can work drinking, but they don't have to get to the stage where they're vomiting. You know, I mean, if you just drink in moderation, but it is getting, you know, I think Ireland a bad name, and St. Patrick, and as you say, was it Boston you were talking about, where they have the same thing, and I don't like our country to be known as like drunkards and, you know, people. You know, I'd prefer, like, that's only a tiny percentage of the population.
Well, when you get the New York Post saying that St. Patrick's Day is basically an excuse to drink all day long with vague notions of paying homage to Irish culture, gratuitous pints of Guinness, endless shots of Jameson, and drinking so much that vomiting along the Manhattan parade route before noon is a known hazard.
Yeah.
It's sad, isn't it? It's really sad when...
Yeah, it's really bad,
you know, that's the view New Yorkers happening have over.
Yeah. It's happening over there as well. But, I don't think it'll ever be stopped. Only get worse, but... It's just a license for people to do this, you know. They think they'll get away with it because of their weekend that's in it, you know.
Let me bring Tony in here. Hiya, Tony.
Yeah.
Jesus, how are you going?
No.
She's fairly wound up there. She's fairly wound up.
I agree with her. It's gone mad, though.
Do you not
think it is, Tony? And I'm not an old man, by the way. I'm not an old fella.
I was in America as well. I was over in New York for Paddy's Day as well. Like, I lived over there for a bit. And we had a mighty crack.
Yeah.
Okay? Paddy's Day. We went out with a mighty laugh. Right? And I walked in pubs before, you know, a pub here. And you have people, it's like Mother's Day. Let's say Valentine's Day. It's the only time you see the wife. You know who's partner. You don't know who's partner when you're walking behind the bar until it's come Valentine's Day. Oh, you're with her. Oh, you're married to her. Yeah. You know, you don't know, like, Anthony Pettis.
Oh, because they don't bring the wives out, do they?
No, you wouldn't see the wives out until Valentine's Day. And it's like Pettis Day. People don't go out, and then they wait for Pettis Day. They go out to have a few drinks or whatever. But you're on about the crowd in Dublin. That rugby game, number one, should be shipped to Limerick. Why not have it in Limerick? And then you have the Scottish go to Limerick instead of them all up in Dublin. One way to solve the problem. Why do everything have to go up to Dublin?
Yeah.
Why do everything have to go to Dublin?
Well, I'll tell you, Tony.
You can fly into Shannon.
I tell you, I was.
You can fly into Shannon.
Yeah.
You can go to Limerick. You can go to the stadium in Limerick. Have the rugby match there. What's the big deal?
Well, I was sitting in the foyer in this hotel today, and the entire Scottish pipe band arrived in. Now, I'd say they arrived at Dublin Airport, and they probably spent two hours drinking there before they got to the hotel.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking,
and you know what?
Yeah.
If you went, listen here now, right? You're saying about the drinking culture, but if you went to Amsterdam in the morning, what's your first thing you're going to do? I go what I'm going to do when I go to Amsterdam. I go to the coffee shop, see how they're getting on. It's like. You do what the natives do in that country. They all go to coffee shops. Everybody in Ireland goes to coffee shops. As soon as they go to Amsterdam, red light district probably, maybe, I don't know, but the coffee shop is the number one. It's like when they come to Ireland, they go for a few drinks of pints of Guinness because the Americans want to. Americans think there's war in Ireland with the past all their lives because they've been told there's war in Ireland. They don't realise the war was in the north of Ireland and not in down south.
Yeah.
Americans, don't worry what the Americans think. You know what I mean? Like, the Americans just wants to, they go with the culture as well, like, of course. That's what they've come over for. So let them at it. What harm is it doing?
But the culture is gone. The culture is gone, Tony. That's the point we're making.
It's bred out of us. Come here, that's what you think it's gone, but it's not gone. It shouldn't be gone. It is what it is. Leave it alone. It's not doing any harm. What harm is having to piss up on a Paddy's Day? No harm, more harm in the world. I have it every Paddy's Day. I go for piss up.
And so, is that the only day?
I do not.
Is that the only day you drink, yeah?
Well, it's probably one of the days I do drink.
Yeah.
And maybe Christmas, but not major, like, but it'd be one of my days I go for it, like. And
right.
No harm in the world. A couple of shots of Puccini in at the same time.
Right.
But
okay.
It's the fact of everyone thinking, oh, the culture is gone. No, it's not gone. But the politicians and our press and our media will make it try and go let it go, all right, yeah?
Well, they're all gone. They're all over the world tonight. They're all off selling Irish wares around the world.
But this is this is some waste of taxpayers' money too. Like, you know, if you think about it, like, what the fuck, what are they doing? Bringing out Shamrock to people and out talking shite to people who don't want even to hear what they're saying.
Okay, easy.
Care.
Yeah, I think Joe Biden has hay fever anyway, so I think there might be... Yeah.
I personally think, let it alone, and fucking people want to go for drinks, and that taxi driver's too old, number one. If he wants to bring his grandchildren to a parade, his grandchildren, that means he's an old man driving a taxi.
Oh, you can have grandchildren when you're in your late 40s now.
But he sounds, he's like a lot older than grandchildren. He says, you know, he'll bring his... Come on, I guarantee you that fella must be about 70. And he was a bad fella to clean his hair.
Well, he'll tell you one thing, if he's 70 years of age, you wouldn't mind putting the cream he's got in his face on, that's for sure.
Well, he shouldn't be driving a taxi if he's old as well, especially on Paddy's Day, because Paddy's Day can be a bit rough at times. Of course, everybody knows that.
Thanks, Tony.
People do have a few drinks too much. Handle them nicely, be nice.
Yeah, you too.
And you'll be okay.
Mind the ditches.
Yeah, you too, man.
That's
mind
it. Take it easy. Okay, Garrett, are you there?
Happy.
Yeah. Is Garrett there? No, Marie.
Hey, how are you doing?
Oh, there you are. How are you? Happy St. Patrick's Day to you.
You too.
What do you think?
I think particularly in a Dublin city centre, obviously it's a chaos with teenagers and that, you know, totally out of control. Since I've been living in Dublin anyway, and going into the parade kind of post 1 o'clock, post 2 o'clock, get out of there, you know. But himself on beforehand, going on about the culture and drinking and all this. Of course, but, But I mean, and with the mass closures of pubs up and down the country, I mean, and that is slowly dying, all right, you know, that particular pub culture up and down the country. But yeah, and then definitely Ireland and St. Patrick's Day, of course, in America, is still associated with booze and drinking and all this. And when an American comes over, kind of put a pint in their hands, and every president, meaning they were trying to put a pint in the Queen's hand at one stage. So, meaning, yeah, we're just associated with that, you know. And, I mean, the boys have no option but to go over on St. Patrick's Day to brown nose people because of FDI. We're heavily dependent on that. So, you know, I wouldn't be giving out about that either, you know.
But whatever about the FDI, I mean, the thing about it is, I mean, I think Eamon Ryan is somewhere in Brazil this weekend for St. Patrick's Day.
I know.
Now, obviously, I mean, with his green connection, I think, you know, and the Amazon and that, a wonderful association to be had to have there. But I don't really get the Brazil connection. Now, there are a lot of Brazilians
he
here.
He should be. I know. No, it's such a... But, I mean, and Eamon Ryan was meeting the Chinese Prime Minister in the biggest jumbo jet in the world. And I'm going on...
maybe I'm wrong about Brazil, then. Sorry about that. Yeah, maybe I was thinking of Beijing. Yeah. I'm not sure. Actually, you know what I'm going to do? I have a list of where they all are this weekend. It's a fascinating list. It's like Phileas Fogg. It's around the world in 80 hours. The entire cabinet is spread all over the globe this weekend. And we'll have a look at some of the places they are in a little while this morning.
I know.
Anyway, Gareth, happy St. Patrick's Day to you. We'll raise one to you, OK?
Cool. Take care, man.
Thanks a lot. Thank you. Take care. Hiya, Sienna.
Hello, how are you?
Let me give the phone number first, 0818 942 105, 0818 942 105, and WhatsApp voice notes, 087 188 0008. Happy St. Patrick's weekend to you. Are you looking forward to it?
Well, not really, because I haven't been well, so just another day for me. So I'll watch the parade and just another day. But I'm glad I'm not young anymore. I'm glad I haven't got young kids. And I wouldn't go into town, even if I was able, I wouldn't go into town on a normal day. In the daytime now, it's all gone now. I think people are going to smaller towns and that even. It's mostly tourists that will go to it. But then you have it on carnivals and all, and out at night, carrying their knives back to square one again. And as for the government, they have to stay where they are. They're not left.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You think they should, maybe they should just come back here for St. Patrick's Day and stay away then for the rest of the year?
Well, I mean, it's all gone, isn't it? Because we are getting looked. I mean, they stood up and they said, now we're giving you this, and we're giving you that, and we're going to do this, and yourself there, you could have had nothing, you could have lost your, particularly with COVID and everything, ruined the likes of yourselves, and we're going to put money in here. And yeah, where is this money? They have nothing, and suddenly they have 50 million for here and 10 million for there. And they said, no, we're going to look after the people and all that. But here, we're giving a now, so they really gave us nothing.
But just come, how's your health, by the way? You were saying you weren't too well.
I have, I'm waiting to see if I can, which I don't think I'm being approved for a lung transplant.
Oh, right, yeah. I'm sorry to hear that. Have you COPD?
I have COPD. I got, I collapsed the lung and they didn't catch it. They didn't realise it was caught. But the lung was gone, sorry, just 14 years ago.
Yeah.
And they looked at the wrong x-ray. They sent me home, and when they did, obviously they must check them x-rays at night. Mm. They couldn't say it. It just went.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
So I'm 14, well, not 14 years, you know, decapitated, as I say.
Mm.
But just got used to it.
All right. Well, I hope you have a good weekend, Sienna. Lovely to talk to you.
I will indeed, and yourself, and above all, be safe.
Yeah, you too. Take care.
Thanks a lot. God bless.
God bless. Thank you. I think Niamh is there. Hi, Niamh.
Hi, Gareth. How are you?
I'm good. Happy St. Patrick's weekend. I don't really know why I'm saying happy St. Patrick's weekend, because it's so long. It's like an abyss. It's like a huge desert at this stage. It used to just Happy St. Patrick's Day. Are you looking forward to it?
I won't really be doing much, so I'm looking forward to a day off work, yeah.
Yeah.
I know it's a day after, but you know what I mean? I'll be off on the bank holiday. I don't really celebrate it that much, so.
And what can you do for the day off? Will you just chill out?
Yeah, sometimes. I might go for coffee and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm not a big drinker, so, yeah.
It's very messy, especially in Dublin. And I know Cork can get a bit messy as well at times, but it's just got completely out of hand here in Dublin, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying earlier. It's the drinking is just... People get greedy with drinks, don't they?
Mm.
Now, I know people can do what they want, their business, but, I don't like it. I mean, it's lovely to have a few pints and things like that. It's lovely. And I don't mind... You know, our culture going for a few pints and things like that, you know?
Yeah.
But it's embarrassing when you hear about all the carry-on, though, isn't it?
Oh, completely, yeah. I don't know how anybody can afford the price of drink in Dublin anyway. I really don't, you know? I mean, when you look at some of the big popular places, they're charging €10 a pint of Guinness, you know? And like, you can go into an off-licence and buy a bottle of wine for a tenner, but you can also be charged €10.50 for a glass of wine in a couple of pubs. I was just looking at prices today. It's just completely gone mad, you know?
Yeah, I think the last time I had a glass of wine, it was €10, I think, yeah, somewhere near Baggot Street.
€10?
Yeah, it's mental when you can get it so cheap at home, yeah.
Well, do you know what I was doing? I was just kind of... I had a bit of time in my hands this afternoon. I'm just putting stuff together with Jane for the show. I was having a look at the prices. If you came to Dublin, just maybe, you know, with your friend, your partner, whatever, just a surprise weekend for St. Patrick's Day, and you decided just to surprise the partner. You surprised the partner with a hotel, okay? So what you've got basically now, if you came tomorrow, if you flew in from London or flew in from America... I'm looking at the prices of hotels. So the average price of a hotel room in Dublin on an ordinary day will set you back around about €200, €220, okay? So I've looked at the six biggest hotels in a particular area of Dublin city centre, when you consider how big the area is, okay? So one of the hotels for three nights, two adults, okay, €1,700 if you decide to stay for tomorrow night, Saturday night and Sunday night, then go home on Monday. €1,700. That goes up again then. Another hotel not too far from that one, and I'm not going to name them because there's no point. They're lovely hotels, you know, and when the season is not a St. Patrick-style season, the prices are different. But listen to this. One hotel right slap bang in the middle of the city centre, three nights, two adults, €2,100 if you arrive tomorrow night. Another hotel there for €1,600. Another hotel, let's go down. Oh, they're getting pricey now. If you want a luxury double bedroom ensuite, and I don't think any of these include your breakfast, you're coming close to €2,000. €2,000, OK? That's for three nights for the two of you. No breakfast. That's not all of the hotels, as I say. That's five or six hotels I checked. Now, let's go to Portugal. So what you do, you go online tonight and you go to a very well-known website where you can book your holidays abroad, okay? And it's a very popular website for Irish people. And so instead of spending, let's take an average of €1,800 for three nights in a hotel in Dublin for the two of you with no breakfast, okay? What will you get for €1,800 in Portugal? Well, you'll get a five-star hotel tomorrow night for seven nights, okay? For 682 per person, so that's about €1,300. So considering you're spending about 18, 19 for 3 nights here, you still have, for a week in Portugal, having paid 1,300 for the week, with flights included from Dublin Airport or from Cork Airport, you've still got spending money that's worth, what, 600-700 euro? That's for a week in the sun, the weather at the moment, about 21, 22 degrees. And that's what it would cost you to stay without a breakfast for a number of hotels in Dublin this weekend. It's just unbelievable, isn't it? Unreal, unreal. I know which one I'd go for. Now, Eamon says the week in Portugal might be cheaper, but there won't be a St. Patrick's Day parade come by the hotel. I think they do one in Albufeira. I know they do one actually along the seafront there in the Costa del Sol. Anyway, let's see, Claire says, I'd rather pay and stay in a Dublin hotel. No, I'd be gone to Portugal, I'm sorry. I love Portugal anyway. I love Albufeira, I love Alvor, I love Praia da Rocha and Vila Moura and lots of those lovely resorts. So now, I think while I love St. Patrick's Day, and it's my birthday actually, and I've never been to a St. Patrick's Day parade in my life, I'd still rather go to Portugal, I have to say, for that kind of money. Seriously, the money in Portugal, like this weekend, for what would be a busy weekend, I'd say, it's unbelievable. Somebody saying, name and shame. No, I'm not shaming anybody. I'm simply just quoting prices. I'm not even naming the hotels because they're perfectly entitled to charge what they want because obviously people are prepared to pay for it. Lots of Americans over this weekend, and I was sitting in the foyer of that hotel earlier on today. Lots of you wondering which one it was. Do you know, the Americans, they've got this kind of protocol, even when they're on holidays. I was watching them. I'm a people watcher. And they kind of think, come on, let your hair down a bit. You know, they sort of sit there and they say, what time is the table booked for Randall? And he says, 8:30, Esther. And she says, where are the others? Are they off the coach yet? Are they gone to their rooms? Do you want to ring them? And he says, no. Do you want me to go up and knock on their doors? No, you can't do that, Randall. And then you're thinking, wow, there's going to be a huge row here any minute. Esther and Randall. Anyway, and then you've got the Scottish pipe band inside in the bar. It was like a lunatic asylum at one stage. I didn't want to leave. It was just great fun. Now, so we're talking about St. Patrick's Day and how things have changed and it's now just a drink culture and basically no one knows much about St. Patrick. In fairness, I think the stuff I learned about St. Patrick at school, I put a question mark over it, really. Somebody said he sailed here from Wales. Maybe he did, I don't know, but he definitely didn't drive the snakes out of Ireland. Unless, of course, he was a taxi driver and he turned around and he says, you all right in the back there, lads? That's an old one. So give us a shout, 0818 942 105, if you would like to have a chat with us about St. Patrick's Day and the drinking culture. Terry's on the line. Terry, we've been keeping you there for a while. You've been listening to the conversations. What do you think?
I actually just think that it's a day of madness, really.
Right.
You know, it's at one stage, you would have loved them to be bringing kids into the parade.
Right.
Now, look at it. I've grandkids now, so it's not about bringing my kids in. But to bring the grandkids in now, I suppose, I don't know whether you'd like to be bringing kids into the parade now, because I went in there a couple of years ago. And the kids, 12 and 13, they were shagging and all on the side of the road.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, literally, who the fuck? I thought it was in Ibiza, only for it was cold.
Do you know, if it was in Ibiza, they'd be picked up by the cops and they'd be thrown in the slammer and you wouldn't see them for a couple of days and they'd come back maybe with a couple of bruises, that's for sure.
Well, look, I've been in Ibiza and I've seen that carry on going on in Ibiza. And some people probably were picked up, but some of them weren't. And but I saw young kids here, and 12 and 13.
Like,
you know what I mean?
In doorways and that.
Yeah. And they were, then you were seeing them all throwing their heads over the liffey and they were puking their guts up. You know what I mean? No. And you can't ask the police to police that.
No.
You know what I mean? not really asked it. So I think without the, I think the good thing that they done was maybe that they stopped serving drink in town for certain times on St. Paddy's Day.
I think they have an agreement with the publicans. The pubs don't open till 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I think. I don't know what time the parade starts in Dublin, but I know it's mixed around the
11
country.
11 o'clock,
now.
I think. 11 o'clock.
And it takes about three hours to see the whole thing through. And would you, if the pubs didn't open till 7 in the evening, would that make a difference, do you think?
I don't know because I know Jordan Paddy's Day normally before. No, I don't drink now, but I used to drink and I never used to go down to the pub until in the evening.
Yeah.
And when you used to go down in the evening, the fucking pub be scruffy.
Yeah, be on bits. Yeah.
It'd be scruffy. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And I just didn't like pubs that's full of kids and you're sitting there drinking. I'd rather drink a piece with no kids.
Yeah.
So that would have been my reason on that, you know.
And would you have a drink at home? But, would you have a couple of drinks
not
at home?
Now. Not now. I haven't drank in 20 odd years.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
And is there a reason for that? Did you just decide I've had enough of it?
I had enough of it, like, and everybody else had enough of it about me.
All right, okay.
Do you know what I mean?
20 years, that's great.
So,
yeah.
21.
Well done, Mary. And do you miss it still? After 21 years, do you miss it?
Never missed it. No, because I always had no, I had nothing but fucking hassle over it, so I never missed it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't miss hassle.
No, definitely not, that's for sure. And you don't miss hangovers?
No, not to say that it sometimes, no, you would still get kind of, it's not. Look, if I went into a pub for any special reason, you know, if there was a party on and I went to the party, I'd have a couple of glasses of orange or whatever.
Yeah.
But the following day, I'd feel as if I'm fucking dying of a hangover. It's the hassle, it's the build up in the pubs, it's the madness that goes on, and it's like as if that you had been drinking.
Yeah, well, I suppose
you know, only if you have a hangover with no drink.
Yeah, it's a kind of an anxiety really thing, and people get that pub anxiety if they've given up drinking. I've heard of a couple of people who've said that to me, that they don't like going into pubs if they're not drinking, but sometimes they find they've no choice, that they have to go to a party or a reception, you know. But Mary, listen, I'm so pleased for you that, you know, you're off it that long. That deserves a congratulations. So,
thanks.
Okay, nice to talk to you.
Okay, thanks
a lot. Thanks a lot. How are you, Jason?
Good evening, Gareth.
What do you think of the whole thing? Is it? Do you ever think we'll get back to the old days? It's unlikely, isn't it?
No. God, I'm listening to you. God.
73
years. I'm
going
back to Mrs. Brown. Go, no, I'm 48. I'm listening to you since I crawled into my first van when I was 10 with my father. I'm on the road now, sleeping in my truck now, a long distance truck. I can't believe I'm finally getting to talk to you.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
No.
We'll send you out. Go ahead.
I'm going back to them days. Remember the eye in the sky, the helicopter used to give us the traffic and all? I mean, that's when Dublin was a beautiful place.
Talking about getting sick here, which is not a nice subject, obviously, but talking about the eye in the sky, I did that one morning. I've never been so sick in my life.
I remember.
Oh, my God. I was doing the traffic news. I was up over Liberty Hall and I was saying, Jesus, take it down.
But that's the last time Dublin was a pure good place. I know we had our problems and all, but it was nothing like this. I worked in the Indo. Remember the Indo was in town?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
In Abbey, I worked there.
Yeah.
Well, we went down Princess Street. We walked out the back door delivering the papers in the van. I was one of them lads.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was a paperman. I've always been on the road. That's all I've ever done. I've always just delivered. And I seen the change in town. I was there from when I was 16 till I was 28. Yeah, now I'm going back from 92 then up. And I seen the change. You wouldn't have them gangs of kids. The guys didn't allow it.
Yeah.
They didn't. I seen them every Friday and Saturday night. And they pushing them on. And then it changed. When money came in, we lost respect for everybody.
Yeah.
We lost respect for our peers, our teachers, for anybody in government, the guards. And then I seen town change, and you started to get gangs hanging around the streets, and the guards were afraid to touch them. Wouldn't go near them because they weren't allowed. Everything changed. Softly, softly approach, huggy, huggy, huggy. Let's give everybody a hug and talk it all out. That doesn't work in the big bad world, Garrett, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you wouldn't allow teenage gangs to stand around the corners drinking. And as for the pubs that open until 2 o'clock, they're bringing the drink in with them. Yeah. The off license open at half ten in the morning. They're getting the drink the day before from their sisters or their brothers or these mid-aged teenagers now. Their parents are giving them because they want to be the cool parents. Oh, at least I know he's drinking, or I'd like him to drink with me. No, mm-hmm. You don't let them drink until they're 18, and that's that.
And
that's
for
a politician being that. Yeah.
Can you imagine if now I know they've pushed the law, or the proposed law that they were going to introduce, to keep nightclubs open till 6 o'clock in the morning. Could you imagine if nightclubs in the cities here in Ireland were open till 6 o'clock this morning? In the morning this weekend.
Unfortunately, because of our relationship with drink. But Garrett, why can't we? Are we not all adults and responsible adults?
Yeah.
What about people who walk from 6 in the evening till 2 in the morning? Are they not allowed to have a nightlife? Are they not allowed to have a social life? You know what it's like for people that work in the nightclub industry. They have no social life because when they close, there's nothing for them to do after work.
Yeah.
You know, and then they can't go drinking at 10:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Because you're getting yourself a name for that. I mean, my grandfather worked nights all his life in the Indo, from the 50s right up to your 3rd. He could only drink during the daytime. That man never stepped foot inside the pub at nighttime. And he always said it to me, at 5:30 in the morning was the best time when you'd go down to the cobblers there, the cobblestones, and you went to the early house. If you just used to open at 5:30, remember the early house?
Oh,
open
yeah.
at 5:30 for all the walkers.
Oh, Delaney's was always
Delaney's
packed at that hour of the morning.
Jammers with all of us in there in the morning, right? And then the nightclubs then start pushing in, the drugs came in. The working men didn't go to them pubs in the mornings then. Them pubs were just full of people coming from nightclubs.
Mm.
You know, the city has changed. Not for the good, some for the good, but a lot of it not for the good. And as for our government, he's over in Brazil because they're destroying the farmland in this country, destroying the farmers' industry and income in this country, and they have to buy cheap beef from somewhere. We're slaughtering our herd for this green agenda, and he's over there buying as much beef as he can because we still have to feed the nation here. Just remember that.
Yeah.
You know, that's another scam that
they're pulling. Are you still driving the trucks, Jason, yeah?
I am parked here at a truck services here on the M7 motorway. And I'm starting again at 4 in the morning.
Oh, so you're going to have
I'm what's called a tramper. I stay out in my truck most of the week. I leave my wife and kids on a Sunday night or 4 o'clock Monday morning. I get home on a Friday.
And you climb into the bunk at the back, do you?
I was just thinking, the prices you set at the hotels, I have a beautiful truck here with 2 beds, a microwave, a cooker, a television, a fridge, a freezer, and a night heater. I'm not using it the weekend. I'll rent it out £100 a bed. I'll park it on O'Connell Street.
But have you got an air fryer?
I'm in the middle. I'm getting what's called an inverter into my truck so I can put another plug in, and the microwave will be gone and the air fryer will be coming in. I have my cooking facility under in the grubby hole there of my cooker and my pots and my pans.
You need a slow cooker in that thing, do you know? If you're going to be out on the road 4 nights and 4 days of the week, you need a slow cooker. A nice big stew in there to keep you going for 3 days.
I bring me shoes. My beautiful partner looks after me very well. She stacks me fridge up, and I have my microwave there, so I'm pretty well looked after out here. But there's enough of us out here, Garrett, keeping this country running. Just remember, without us truck drivers, you just wouldn't be having what you have today. Everything in this country has to go by trucks. We live on an island, people. Just remember that. We live on an island.
I can see a career in politics for you when you can sell the truck. Do you remember?
You might have seen me on the television for the truckers' protest, Garrett. I was the one outside the Dáil with me truck, the very first truckers' protest we had a couple of years ago. I was the one on the telly talking to all the press.
I saw that, yeah. Oh, God, right, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, there's definitely... I tell you, you can talk like a politician anyway, that's for sure.
Niall Boylan will tell you all about me and talking.
Great.
Listen, Garrett, it's an absolute pleasure talking to you after all these years. I'll tell my father, he won't believe me.
Likewise, Jason. Great to hear you, and take care. Get a few hours kip there, and you're back out at 4 o'clock.
Oh, you will indeed. Yeah, I am. Back on the boats. Ben, run for the boat. Garrett, God bless my friend.
Yeah, take care. Have a good weekend. Take care. Thanks, Jason.
You too.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. Good night. God bless.
Thank you. Bye-bye. He's offering his truck for the weekend. I love it. Okay, let's see. Maureen, how are you?
Hi. Hello, Garrett. How are
Sorry
you?
Sorry for keeping you waiting there. Jason,
not
a man of few words, that's for sure.
Anyway,
no, he was good.
He was. We need more talkers like Jason. Anyway, exactly. Are you looking forward to the St. Patrick's weekend? Have you the couple of days off?
Well, no, I'm not working now, but back in the days, they say, like the bar trade was my trade for years.
All right, yeah.
And you see, we have the West Cork Rally here at the weekend.
Oh, where are you in? You're in
Clonakilty.
All right. Okay. And did you owned a bar in Clon, did you?
No. I worked in a bar, and I was working in a hotel and a nightclub when we had a nightclub in the town.
Oh, sure. Remember well. Yeah. That's a long
time back. So, like this weekend now, they're having the first ever night time stage. They never had it before.
They're brilliant.
So that's on Friday night.
Right.
And it's all day and Saturday and all day Sunday. And, you know, like all of Arkfield, and people are blocked in for hours and they can't come out. And if they want to come out, they're going to be out for 5 and 6 hours in the town. But I'm not, Gareth, I'm not looking forward to it. You know, to me, St. Patrick's Day has been turned into a shambles.
Right.
The clue is, you know, the clue is in the word saint.
Yeah.
And what I see happening in parades, especially in the cities, is doing nothing but insulting and dishonouring St. Patrick.
Mm.
And I wouldn't dream of attending any one of them. Well, it's shocking.
I think the parades themselves are, they're organised with, you know, they're responsibly organised. And I have to say, there's nothing wrong with the actual parade. I think they're wonderful. Visually, they're just, they're incredible, most of them. But I think it's a lot of the people who use the parades as an excuse to destroy the credibility of the day that's in it. Would you agree?
Well, they do, but as you were saying, you were saying the parades are well organised and all the rest of it. And yes, there are some nice displays, but there are unfortunately some things in there that shouldn't be there,
right,
in my opinion. And it dishonours the saint. And it's just been turned into a drinking day for Ireland, you know.
David's there as well. Hi, David.
Hi there. I would love to hear that guy, Jason. I'm sorry I only came in on the end of his conversation. It sounds like a brilliant chap to listen to.
Yeah. He is.
Great entertainment.
Yeah, he is by the sounds of it. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, great guy. Maureen just says it's nothing but an insult. You can't wait to get your hands on a pint.
I like most nights. I'm perfectly happy with people drinking responsibly. That therein lies the problem. If Clint Eastwood used to say, a man's got to know his limitations.
Yeah, yeah. And
that's all it is. It's certainly my mum, mum and dad, before dad died when I was about 10, they would allow us to have a glass of very much watered down wine on a Sunday lunchtime.
They were spoiled sports.
But we learned to use alcohol in a responsible manner in a controlled environment. Mm. And we didn't have this sort of nutcase attitude. There's a fabulous old boy who comes into the local pub in the village I live in. And at time, gentlemen, please, he will order up 3 pints of Heineken and he will drink that. And he's been going since like 8, 9 o'clock, and he will drink those in the 20 minutes of drink up time.
Wow.
And he will walk out and he's a pleasure to know, drunk or sober. Mm. But it's just horses for courses. It's like anything in life, isn't it? It's, you have fools and you have people who spoil it for the rest.
But like the people who spoil it for the rest are the people who just overindulge and then get into a fight. Or they start throwing things around the bar. Or they start offending other people who are having a quiet drink.
Yeah.
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 So how do you deal with those people? That's
up to the publican. I did actually do a hotel course, and you're taught on the course how to deal with those people, and and you basically lead them away. This may sound strange, but on the course you're taught, if you've got a female around, staff, ask her to go in and lead them away, because typically, if a bloke goes in on a bloke, then you could you are potentially exacerbating the problem. If you get a young female or somebody to ask them to come this way, you're more likely to get a positive response. So we were taught.
Yeah, well, as you say, more likely. But what if it's unlikely that you're going to get a response like
that? Well, obviously you've got to have the boys nearby to protect her and to sort the issue out before it spreads to other guests and becomes a major issue.
And can I ask you, because you did this course, did you work in the hotel trade, by the way, or did you do the course?
You did. Yes, I did.
So you've got a situation. Like I'm sure many pubs and clubs on Sunday will have, you've got someone who's gone completely loopy lalas, and they're probably maybe holding a bottle or they've got their fists in the air, and you know the Gardaí aren't going to be there for another half hour or so. How do you deal with the situation?
Well, the last thing any publican or licensee wants to have is the guards,
right?
Because then you become a problem the next time you ask for an extended license, et cetera, it becomes a problem.
Right.
So the person that is a problem, you should have identified, your bar staff should have identified earlier, and they should have stopped serving him earlier.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.